Today we're going to have an example, in fact, on leadership, or shall I say, anti-leadership, contrary leadership, unleadership. We have an example, a vivid example of Jesus once again rebuking some of the religious leaders. I have been personally in various different contexts of very good leadership and other contexts that have very poor leadership. I was in a situation one time where one pastor that I talked to, and I was raising some concerns that I had, not only mine, but on the behalf of other people. And after I spoke for maybe 10 minutes or something, and 15 minutes, and he says, "You have a lot of gall coming in here and telling me these things. Don't you know that we're trained to be pastors of mega churches?" And the church that we had was about 200 people. And he basically kicked me out of his office. And I thought, that's not the kind of leader I want to be. And so I learned a very important message that day, one of which I want to always be listening to people, to hear what people have to say. Secondly, I want people to tell me if they have something to say. I don't not want this little secret thing going on the side and not come to me. I'd rather have it come, have things come to me so that I can have a chance to make corrections, or we can talk it about and increase fellowship. That's the goal of all of what we're doing today. So as we're looking at leadership, one of the struggles that we're going to have is that we all have some kind of leadership capacity, some kind of leadership responsibility. We are leading, we are following somebody ahead of us, or we are leading or being an example or not a good example to somebody who's watching. There's always a watching world, and that's one of the things that we need to be aware of. Let's, with that, we want to recognize that the advancing kingdom is coming. It's on its way, and it just rolls like a tide, and it will not be stopped. So what we want to do is to participate with that kingdom rather than get run over by that kingdom. And so that's what this advancing kingdom title is about. How can we participate with that which God is going to do? And so will you join me in prayer as we seek the Lord together? Father, we sometimes are caught blindsided because your kingdom catches up to us. Lord, we affirm that the things we learned, not everything we learned as children or even in the corporate world or government world or in the school education world, not all of those things were good examples. Father, help us to know today that we're always being watched, and especially we want to know that you are watching us. And help us through your Holy Spirit to take examples that we see in the Bible and to be able to learn from it. So we offer this time to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture is found in Luke chapter 20, verses 41 to 47. And the title of this particular section is "The Advancing Kingdom is Free from Spiritual Pride." You're going to have a lot in your notes. We're only going to cover the first part today. The Advancing Kingdom is Free from Spiritual Pride. So we have, let's read this together as we take a look at this scripture, Luke 20, verses 41 to 47. Okay, let's read that together. Ready, go. "While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and at the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely.'" Okay, a little scary when you think about that, especially that last phrase. So here we have Jesus is at the temple, and at the temple, there are many religious people there. There's an assembly, a conference-like setting where many people are there for the purpose of religious homage to God. And you have people of all sorts of religion, religious ranks, if you will. You have the high priest, you have the chief priests, you have various other priests, you have those who are part of the Sanhedrin, which is the ruling council, the Jewish ruling council. They're made up of the Sadducees, who are sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection and angels and supernatural. So they're sad, you see. And then we have Pharisees. Pharisees are also religious people. They're more like the people who go out and serve at local churches. The Pharisees are the closest person to a pastor back then. And Jesus comes here, and he's looking at a particular group of people called the teachers of the law, and or in other words, scribes, those who write down things. And they look at all of these things, and they're really nitpicky about who does what. You can almost scary to be around them because they might have a checklist on them and to see if you're following along or not. And so here's what he's noticing. He says, beware of these teachers of the law or scribes. They're both the same name of these people. And they have long robes. What is it about a robe? A robe creates a distinction between you and the rest of the people. If everybody wore a robe, then a robe loses its meaning. But if a particular person wears a robe and nobody else is wearing a robe, then that person has a distinction. It says, I have a place among you. And in the Old Testament, you had these tassels on these robes. You had, after the fall of the nation of Israel, you had the people who would wear these like a headband and the box on their forehead, right on their forehead. And these were scripture verses. It's actually, the idea of this comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Tie the scripture, the word, on your hands and on your heads. And so they literally did that. They strapped it onto their head. And they loved them. The bigger your box, the more scriptures you knew. And when somebody saw you, they saw you with a big box up there. So, oh, wow, you know, this guy knows the scriptures. And or they had special headdresses to them. They often had titles. Titles bring distinctives, don't they? Title is not the same as a function. Everybody has a different function. That's appropriate. But not everybody has a particular title. A title that describes the function is actually quite useful, like pastor. Pastor means shepherd. This is the person who's responsible for shepherding the people of God. They oversee and take care of the needs, the spiritual needs, and emotional needs of people and things like that. There are other titles like reverend. And you might wonder where that comes from. I looked up the origin of the word reverend. I never could find what it came out with. But I did remember going to this one place. It was a retreat center. And we were walking through the office area and we saw this plaque called Reverend So-and-so. And we had next door was Very Reverend so-and-so. Walk down the line. The most very reverend so-and-so. And it was really funny. Because I just wasn't used to that, right? And it was like, I am the reverend, and we want you to know that. And they were not afraid of that at all. So they love distinctives. Long robes is like distinctive markings. The response for us would be happy. If you're a leader, be happy with blending in. Be happy with blending in. In our conference, one of the things when you're ordained, the first thing you get is a robe. I thought, a robe? Oh, I feel so uncomfortable in a robe. I felt like David, trying to go out in Saul's armor. Remember that story to fight Goliath? They said, we got to put this armor on you. Put Saul's armor on David. This is not me. And I just felt so awkward. So David went out with a slingshot, right? So anyway, now I do wear a robe if it serves the purpose of the people. And that's the reason why I wear a robe. I do not wear it for my own recognition. But the second thing here, not only long robes, but greetings in the marketplace. Greetings in the marketplace is public recognition. Public recognition. Sometimes I go up to somebody, and especially a new person, and they're calling me Stan. Hey, Stan, and so on and so. And sometimes they stop. Pastor Stan. They stop themselves halfway through the sentence. Pastor Stan. And I say, you can just call me Stan. Stan is who I am. Pastor is what I do. So you can call me by who I am. That's perfectly fine. I try to remember that my relationship with a person, with other believers, my first and only lasting relationship with a person is as a brother in Christ. I'm not, in eternity, I'm not going to be Pastor Stan, Reverend Stan, Ordained Minister Stan. I'm just going to be Brother Stan. And I try to live my life that way. That is my desire. And it is really how I came to Christ. I wasn't led to Christ by some by a high-up kind of person. I was led to Christ by a fellow student. So maybe that's part of the reason for that. I'm just at home and just being ordinary me. These people not only like long robes, greeting in marketplaces, but they like the best seats in the church, at the feasts and special events. And so what they want is special privileges. They want a special privilege. They want to see when they walk into a place, then that little cardboard reserved sign, reserved for Pastor Miyamoto. It just feels good. Oh, yeah, I'm somebody, you know. And they want to see that. They might even get insulted if you don't have that kind of thing. They want to be treated with honor, Jesus goes on to say. They want to be validated. I will go on to say, I will say this just in my own words, in modern day vernacular. They want to be puffed up. They want to puff up their ego. I remember one person who became a pastor, this is many years ago, who had recently become a pastor. And I was talking to this person. I really didn't know this person, but met this person at a convention. And they proudly told this group of people, yeah, you know, all these friends of mine, I've known them all these years. Now I'm a pastor. So I told them, you can't joke with me anymore. I thought, what? Is your life that compartmentalized that they can't have a friendly banter with you anymore? I thought, wow. And so I prayed for that person. not there, but I've been praying for this person ever since. Saying this, I hope, Lord, that you allow this person to really be humble and have a real relationship with people, not solely the pastor-laity relationship. So our response to that was, be willing to be friends above all. Be willing to be a brother and sister above all as the most important relationship. If you're that way, then let the other things fall, let the chips fall where they will. Now, there are things you have to do as a pastor. There are responsibilities you have to fulfill that you're called upon to fulfill, and the next person isn't called upon to fulfill. It's not their calling. So you got to do it. That's your responsibility. And so I'm not saying that you don't be a pastor, don't function as a pastor, or function as an elder or a deacon or a ministry leader. You need to fulfill that function. But be willing to be, first of all, friends. There's this next section that Jesus talks about, take advantage of widows. And I'm going to talk more about this next week, a lot more about this next week. But I want to finish up with this one. They offer long prayers intended to impress. This isn't the only time Jesus said this. Jesus said that, you know, when people, it's in the book of Matthew, though, that he talks about people who want it, these leaders who offer long prayers and you want to show off their religiousness, how religious they are. And it's really done oftentimes for a show. So we need to be careful about these things. And really, the advancing kingdom is free from spiritual pride. How do we know this? because the attitudes of the teachers of the law do not fit into God's kingdom. It does not fit into God's kingdom. And so we know that because these are going to be punished, the goal of a punishment, hopefully, is to bring correction to that person. I remember getting punished by my dad, and I didn't do that stuff again. So punishment is because of love. As we approach the throne of grace, let's be willing to just point to Jesus and to say, Jesus, you deserve all the glory. Lord, I have a function, yes. Help me be responsible for that, yes. Lord, there is such a thing as leadership in the church, yes. Help me to know how to function properly in that role. Father, I pray for all who are in leadership. I pray that we would be able to set a good example for how Jesus wants us to live. Father, as we go into our time of communion, I pray that we would look at Jesus as the ultimate example, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Father, I pray that that would be our attitude. Help us now, God, to quest for this place of humility, servanthood, so that we can be more like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.